Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The New York Times describes Kristen Arnett's new book, With Teeth, this way. With Teeth is sublimely weird, fluently paced, brazenly funny, and gayer still, and it richly deserves to find readers. Married couple Monica and Sammy have a son named Samson. Monica, the breadwinner, thinks Samson's a unique boy and lets him get away with a thing or two. Sammy, who actually carried the kid, is the stay-at-home mom, and, well, she's not entirely sure what to do with Samson. She is at times obsessed, infuriated, maybe even a little scared of her child. Samson is the kind of kid who hurts animals. And even when he was really little, his child therapist was not that psyched when he came around. He grows out of it, sort of. The family is struggling to fix itself in messy, messy ways with various degrees of success. In With Teeth, we follow Sammy, Samson, Monica, and the people whose lives they touch as the wheels come off, are put back on, come off again, and sometimes go flat. The Washington Post said of the book, absolutely captivating and scathingly frank, it's a story of motherhood stripped of every ribbon of sentimentality. The last time Kristen Arnett was on this show, we were in studio and we talked to her about her debut novel, the New York Times bestseller, Mostly Dead Things. We're happy to have her back to learn more about her new novel, With Teeth. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
So you worked as a librarian and you witnessed a lot of kids' story times and the parents who were there. What did you observe during that period about parents and how they walk through the world that you were able to use in this novel about this family you created?
Yeah. I mean, I think being a librarian is quite often like being kind of like set pieces or scenery in a lot of people's lives. So working in story time and seeing how families came in and like operated, right? You can see when a family is having like a good time and they're having a good time together, but then there's also the times where it's like, you know, the day has not gone well. And you can kind of see like those moments of like frank frustration, not only just on the parents' faces, but on the children's, where they're just like not able to deal with each other in that moment. And there were so many times where just watching parents interact with their kids, you'd see this moment where the kid was like screaming or they'd hit someone or they'd hit the parent. And there's like a moment in this, like the parent's face where it's like, I just really, either I can't deal with it right now, or wouldn't it be nice if I could just maybe like give you a little shake or something. They obviously don't do that, but like that look of that kind of feeling of like such intense frustration and such overwhelming, like, I don't know, like just exhaustion was like so compelling to me, just like looking at like how parents move through the world, because it's this like great like daily moments of like kind of lived exhaustion and how they build on top of each other. So it was like, I mean, I always think libraries are so good for thinking like just seeing how people like engage with each other. So it definitely informed how I think about like parent-child relationships.
So Sammy Lucas is bummed out by motherhood many, many of her hours of the day. When you think about her life and you were creating her, where was being a mom on her life agenda?
I think it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is like what comes next, right? Okay, like even though we're both queer people, like we're looking at our life as like, you know, I date around, I find the right person for me, we get married, and then the next thing in our agenda is like we have a household together and we have a kid. So I think the idea of having a child obviously is much different than actually having a child. So I think it's like with Sammy's character, it's something that she was like, this is just a thing that's happening in my life. And then once it's happening, it was like, you know what, this is actually not what I thought it was going to be. This is like very difficult. I'm not sure how to deal with it. And it's not one of those things where you can be like, hello, I'd like to like undo this.
That's
like, that's not
this?
An undoable action. Yeah.
Motherhood is hard enough when your kid is lovey-dovey, but Samson is not that. He even seems fueled by tormenting his mom and challenging Sammy specifically. You know, there are parts in the book where you're like, that kid. How did you know how far to take Samson and his behavior?
I think it was really watching Sammy, because, you know, it's a very close-up, close view of like close third on Sammy's like identification with what's happening in a household. And I strongly believe that everybody in a household is essentially an unreliable narrator, right? Mm-hmm. So like Sammy's telling this story the best way she knows how, but if we heard the same story from Samson, even though it's involving the same set of circumstances, like it's definitely true that he would tell in a completely different way, and her wife would tell it in a different way too. So it was in watching how she views him, there's just like these things like in childhood, right, where it's like kids bite sometimes, or kids hit each other, or kids like say things that are like, you know, can be like really aggressive. It's like through the viewpoint of like, you know, we accept the fact that they're children. And so having Sammy be the lens for how readers interpret it, she takes these actions quite often in terms of like, this feels bad to me, like this mm-hmm. thing is a bad thing. So watching how she's able to like press up on like how she follows him through the world, because that's like basically her only role in the household is to like follow along with him, kind of allowed me to see like where do they go together, because I also think they have a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. You know, like the things that she gets like the most exacerbated at him for are things that like she herself sometimes embodies, you know, like she gets aggravated that he's such a picky eater. She is a picky eater. She like gets frustrated because he has a really hard time making friends. Like she herself has like a real struggle making friends. So by having Sammy follow Samson around and be like as close to him as possible, like I think really helped me to be able to like see like how, what is Samson going to do and how is this going to look on the page?
What did you want to telegraph about Sammy that she named her son after her, Samson?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun thing, too, because it's like there's so often that that happens with, like, you know, men that have, like, sons name their kids, like, right? Like, oh, here's, like, Michael Jr. or here's, mm-hmm. like, you know, Thomas the Third or something. So I think her, like, wanting to have some kind of level of control, because she feels like she is a lot of the times very powerless in her household. And feeling like she has this kind of authority over Samson really permeates the book. So, like, you know, he's part of me is her thought process quite a lot of the time in the book. Like, we know each other, or even the way that she sometimes thinks that they're having, like, these, like, battle of wills, or, like, who here is going to be, like, in control of the situation is, like, a very interesting way to think of parenthood, because it's, like, it is a parent and a child. It's a child. So they're not really as engaged in like a battle of wits with you as you maybe think that they are.
She refers to him needing a haircut again and again. Of course, I went straight to Samson and Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Was I supposed to go there?
I mean, I grew up very evangelical, like Southern Baptist. My family is very conservative. So I grew up on a lot of those stories. And like Samson in the Bible is a lot of those things. And so I absolutely thought a lot about the haircut kind of situation, but also the idea of like Samson in the Bible, his mom is like barren and is praying and praying and praying for a son. And when God gives her Samson, she's told immediately that she has to give him up. Like she can't keep him. So I was thinking about a lot of those kind of things as I was writing, like these kind of things about like, you know, who belongs to who, or mm-hmm. like how much do we really know? Or like, what do we get to see about another person? It's definitely something I thought about for sure. Like it was not an accident thinking about all the hair cutting stuff.
My guest is Kristen Arnett. The name of the novel is With Teeth. So let's talk about that title, because I'm not giving too much away. It happens early. Samson, the kid, bites the mom and the mom bites back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it becomes a thing. So, you know, teeth can mean so many things. I mean, in dreams, teeth are symbols of power. When you say something has teeth, it means it's like for real, it's in there. So how does the phrase with teeth apply to this woman and her struggles and her family struggles?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a kind of feralness to the book, like this idea about like, right, like showing your teeth or baring your teeth or like letting your teeth sink into something and like latching on and not letting go. So in that very specific scene where that kind of thing happens, where, you know, he bites her, not for the first time, like he's like, okay, I'm going to bite you. And in that split second moment, she decides, you know what, I'm biting you back. Like you can experience this with me. And when they latch onto each other, I feel as like, that's what's really running through the book is like, what is their connection and how is mm-hmm. it like connected through this, like in ways of like love and violence, you know? And it's like in its dysfunction, absolutely, but it still sits inside of there. It's like a very messy, dysfunctional, like wanting to love and not understanding how like violence sits inside of that. I feel like is like a apt thing for like teeth in this book, because the teeth are that are featured in here are like not nice. Like it's like a kind of right, like power struggle or like a way of showing dominance or like control. But also, yeah, like a kind of wildness, especially because Sammy feels so like it's a claustrophobic environment for her. And it's a kind of like a wildness in her that wants to break free quite often and erupts in these kind of ways.
There's also sort of a lot about appearances in this book and physical appearances, how they appear as a family. How does Sammy and her wife, Monica, who's the businesswoman, the breadwinner, think about appearances differently?
Well, I mean, I think it's this way in which, because I was very, it was important to me to write a book that focused on like queerness in Central Florida. Mm. And Florida is a red state. It's conservative. And there's like, you know, moving through the world there, queer person raising a child, there's people like looking at you, kind of waiting for you to fail, right? Like two women raising a son, this isn't right, we're waiting for you to mess up. And then the opposite side of that coin is like having queer people who also want to like have a family watching you being like, you can't fail, you have to be like a model behavior, because if you fail, it's like ruining it for everybody else, it messes up other queer people's chances. And that's like so much pressure, that like the idea of like how you're going to be perfect, like not only as like a queer person, but a perfect parent, also a perfect queer parent, would be the hardest thing in the world, like just so difficult. And so the way that like Monica wants things to move is like, we are going to like represent this like heteronormative family. People are going to look at us and be like, look, it's exactly the same. Like our queerness is going to be like, you know, like it's exactly the same. We're no different than you. It's, this is how we sit in life. And also our family is like beautiful and loving and perfect. And I think for Sammy, it's like looking at like an Instagram filter, like looking at photos, like, right, it's a curated kind of thing. I mean, and that's how many of us move through life, like, you know, gay or straight alike, you know, there's like the ways in which we like promote ourselves or look at other people on social media is like a curated image, because we want people to think that our lives are moving in a kind of way. And so for Sammy, I think it just breaks down constantly because she's not able to keep up this facade. And it, like, it feels like to her, like Monica cares more about how they look to other people versus like how they actually operate within the household, which would be like completely dysfunctional.
You write a lot about Sammy's discomfort with her body. You know, she's gained weight, but she keeps wearing the same clothes, even though they're too tight. What is it about this character that she wouldn't just go buy new clothes?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's a person who doesn't understand that she's, I mean, she kind of has touched on it sometimes. She's deeply lonely, but also she's just depressed. Mm. And so like, when those kinds of things happen, like to her through the story, she like, it's like almost like the furthest thing from her mind. Like she's like, I still have these things. I'm going to make a promise to myself that I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to like start, like, I'm going to go like running. I'm going to like take care of myself and like, you know, buy myself clothes that feel like they fit or are good for me. But I also think it's a way to like, that she self-sabotages herself because she doesn't understand like how to be happy or like what that would look like. And so like not taking care of herself is a way that she continually like undermines her own like well-being.
She's disconnected from what is appropriate behavior at certain points in the book. She basically spies on the woman next door gawking in the window. She goes out to a club, she drinks too much, and she kind of ends up pawing at another woman, not respecting boundaries, and she kind of gets pulled out by a bouncer. What's behind this disconnect between like the way you should behave, and should's kind of those words, but there are ways you should behave sometimes.
Yeah. I think that I wanted it to be too, like, Sammy has this kind of nostalgic glowing idea about what her life used to be like as a person moving through the world, like a queer person. And it's hard for her to understand why her life is so different and how she can engage with it in the same way, even if like we all know like nostalgia is like not accurate, like that's not your like glossy, beautiful, glowing memory of the past is not like representative of what actually happened. So her moving through like time, like even when she goes to that gay club and she wears all the same clothes she used to wear when she was young, she only like relates to like the really young people that are there. She does not respect someone else's boundaries because she's like, well, if I'm going to like be dating again or thinking about that again, I'm going to like put myself in a frame of mind where I am who I used to be. And that's like not how, it's not like a, like a mentally well way to look at like moving through life. But I think like Sammy for herself thinks like, if I'm able to like put myself where I was then, because that's where I but that's not how things work. She's lived a whole life, you know, she's a parent and she's like a different age. And also like, yeah, there's like, she's at that club and only sees young people around her. And it's only as she's like leaving the club that she's like, oh, there's plenty of people here my age. And I just didn't see them, you know?
Chris, I've seen so many descriptions of the book. One says it's a story about queer marriage. Another, it's about troubled motherhood. Another said it's a story about a strange kid and the strain on a marriage. What did you start the story actually being about? And then what did it end up being about?
Yeah, I started the story very much about being like, what if you are a queer person moving through Central Florida, like as a parent, and feel as though like, because in queerness, like found family and community is so deeply important. Like quite often that replaces like maybe the family that you don't have, and your found family and your built family is like the most significant important thing. And what would that feel like if you felt like you had lost that and you didn't know what you're doing, and maybe you just were like not good at being a parent? The idea that like queer people in their daily lived minute by minute experience can be messy and deeply problematic too. I was like, I want to write a book where, you know, I like a woman who's a lesbian does not have to be a model parent or a model human being, because I feel that human beings just in general are deeply messy and, you know, flawed and fail quite often. I was like, I want to write a book where, you know, people are failing at things, and those people happen to be queer. Like, she's a lesbian, and yes, she's like failing at this, and she's not a great mom all the time, you know? So that was the very much the impulse for me. And as I moved through the book, it became a way in which I was like, I'm dealing with the unreliability of story, like with the self, and also with like relationships. So like the messiness manifested in the ways in which we don't allow ourselves to like have like clear communication, and the ways in which we feel people don't see us, but we're really not seeing them or understanding that we're engaging with those ways. Like, she feels no one's listening to her, but in reality, quite often she's not listening to anyone else. Like, she's only hearing her own voice. So it became very much, I mean, it's, I would say it's essentially a book about mess.
The name of the novel is With Teeth. I've been speaking with its author, Kristen Arnett. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.